This morning, the theme of the service is around children, and the way that I got to that this morning was through a discussion on the elder team the past two sessions, the only two sessions that I've been a part of. One of the things that we've been talking about is a Safe Church initiative through Samaritan Counseling, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Safe Church after the sermon. I'm going to have a little PowerPoint presentation, but this sermon is supposed to give a little bit of a theological framework for why Safe Church is important. So that's why the theme this morning is on children. The other reason that children fits well this morning is because I was privileged to be able to participate in two pastor's days, one at Lancaster Mennonite main campus, and then on Thursday at Locust Grove. And it was great to be able to connect with your kids. And I just want to say, too, that if other schools don't officially have a pastor's day, if you still would like me to come visit you, I would love to. So I don't know how it works in public schools, but if I can come and visit you, hey, I'd love to be there. So all that's to say, I had a great time at Lancaster Mennonite and Locust Grove. I just have to say one thing. Alana's fourth grade Spanish immersion was very impressive. They are basically all fluent talking Spanish with math and science. And they said that they'll bring like LMH high schoolers in to kind of like read to the fourth graders in Spanish to give them experience. And usually the fourth graders are correcting the 12th graders. That you didn't pronounce that right, so I was very impressed. It's a very cool program. This morning the text is out of Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. And I'll read that out of the NRSV this morning. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. But when Jesus saw this, in order that he might touch them, and their disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As I was thinking about a text that involves little children, one of the first things that I'm aware of is that the first thing that we go to is, for myself at least, is families. And oftentimes, it's easy to think about parents with their own kids, and it's a little bit harder to think about, you know, what does this mean for example, myself as a single person who doesn't have any children, or for a couple that never was able to have kids and always wanted to have kids, or a single person that's not married and doesn't have kids. And I think it's important just to name from the beginning that this is for grandparents, this is for aunts and uncles, this is for single people that are a neighbor and maybe has interaction with kids. This is for all of us, even if we don't have our own kids. And of course, I'm speaking to myself here as someone that doesn't have any kids. But I love being an aunt and uncle to Autumn and London and just seeing how much they've blessed my own life. So Mark's a very interesting book in that it's the first book written in the Gospels. And so Mark does some very interesting things. Mark's all about the disciples never really figuring it out. They just don't get it. And he's kind of harsh on them too, which is, I don't know if you guys Mark didn't grow up in a Jewish community. Well, we don't even know if it was Mark that actually wrote the book of Mark. It's kind of an anonymous author. But it is pretty for sure that the author of Mark didn't grow up in the Jewish community as of, for example, Matthew did. And so Mark's kind of... He comes from a very interesting perspective in that he's very interested in people on the margins. He's paying attention to women especially and children. Of course, then who does he call out that don't get it? Well, it's the 12 Jewish men that usually don't get what the kingdom of God's about. And Mark names it so well. He's always like calling these disciples out. You guys just don't get it. And we have another text this morning where the disciples just don't get it. And it's very appropriate because we often don't get it either. I often don't get it. But let's just turn one chapter back to Mark 8:33. And it's a text on who is the greatest. And these disciples are arguing together. It says, they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. And taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." And one chapter later, here's children coming to Jesus, and the disciples try to stop them. It's like, well, what is Jesus thinking here? It's like, I just told you that the little, if you want to be first, it's going to be the least who you expect to be first. "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them." And so they don't get it, they don't get it, they don't get it. What is it about children that would be difficult for the disciples to understand? Why Jesus would want to welcome them? And I think one of the things that's important is that just understanding the patriarchy and there's just very little status for children. And that's very clear for the disciples here in this text. I'm not going to go into as much of the cultural context because I don't have my notes, so bear with me here. I was thinking about what can we learn from kids about what it means to be church. And there's a few things that stood out to me. And one of the things we've been talking about over and over and over, and that's the word of vulnerability. Children are vulnerable. And there's two different parts of vulnerability that I want to explore. The one part is something that we really want to be here, and that is they're not trying to hide something. They just say it. And they don't need to have a certain image that they're trying to uphold. Well, okay, when I got to middle school, maybe a little bit more. But little children, the vulnerability of saying, "This is bothering me, I need help. I need help." I mean, we don't use those words very often. I need help. But yet, what can we learn about the kingdom of God from little children that come to us needing help and are willing to admit that they don't understand? What is it about when we get older that it's harder to do that? I was a resident director at Eastern Mennonite University, and one of the things that we do in the beginning of the year is we allow students, like incoming resident assistants, we have like a three-day retreat, and the point of the retreat is that we learn different leadership skills. And so one of the activities that we do is this ropes course game where there's a maze set up and there's ropes going through this maze. And everyone's blindfolded. And there's two rules. The first is that there is a way out of the maze. And the second rule is, if you need help, raise your hand. Okay? So we blindfold these freshmen because they're going to be, or I guess they're incoming sophomores or juniors. And they're all blindfolded and they're going through this maze. They're trying to talk to each other, you know. Have you found your way out? Have you found your way out? No, this is a dead end. Okay, well, and they have to hold onto the rope and they're trying so hard to get out of this maze. And little do they know, there's actually not a way out. But there is a way out. You have to raise your hand and ask for help. And so these students just keep trying and trying and trying until you get to the very end and people start to realize, yeah, I do need help, okay. And they raise their hand and then you come to them and say, you're out. And you kind of whisper that in their ear, you made it. But the point of the exercise was, we don't like to ask for help. It's a vulnerable thing to ask for help. And yet, it's part of what the kingdom of God is about, because it's about working together and realizing that we don't have it all figured out ourselves. So that's one thing that we can learn from kids. Another thing that I think we can learn from children is that it's important to rest. I was in the pre-K at Locust Grove in Joanna's class, and I got in there during nap time. So I'm like, everyone's kind of getting their blanket out and laying down, and you know, it was just such a cool reminder that we don't rest. And I don't know when nap time starts. Is it when it stops? Does it stop in first or second grade? I don't know. Someone could help me. The last year is kindergarten for nap time. I think we should be having nap time in high school, because or college, because. You still do it, you're out? Yeah. But Walter Brueggemann talks a lot about our fast-paced society. And, he talks a lot about the Old Testament concept of Sabbath. And oftentimes you just think about Sabbath being Sunday. But what if kids can teach us that Sabbath is important every day and that it's important to rest for self-care? And it's not just about doing the next thing and crossing the next thing off my list, or another invite to go to, or feeling the pressure of trying to be everywhere at once. What if kids teach us that it's good just to rest sometimes and to have a lifestyle of rest? I think when we're resting, we are aware in a significant way of God's presence in our lives. And I'm thinking about the Aquinas and that what centering is. And certainly it's hard to rest when I'm always doing something. So maybe that's another thing that little children can teach us. The other thing that I thought of that little children can teach us is how to have fun. Sometimes church, especially right now, feels like it's not fun in the Lancaster Mennonite Conference, when the first things that we're talking about are, you know, well, where's our position on this? And well, are we going to stay here? Or are we going to leave? Or what do you think? And what if we would, instead of opening our meeting up, talking right about those things, we would just have some fellowship together and have fun together and give thanks to God for the fact that we're alive? You know, I think when kids get together, the first things that they do aren't to start debating. They just start playing. You know, maybe we can learn something about that. Let's learn to play a little better and share, of course. So those are three things that I'm pulling out for kids. Asking for help, learning how to rest, and have fun. And I think we see the kingdom in all three of those things. Now, vulnerability also has another side that it's not all good. Vulnerability is good when we're open and honest and willing to take down our just willing to be transparent in our struggles. Where vulnerability is not good is when we're at risk for being abused or at risk for being taken advantage of. And children and elderly and the disabled are vulnerable in a special way in that area. And that's where I think we can also take Jesus' words seriously here when he says, "Let the little children come to me." But if you read throughout the scriptures and salvation history, the God that we know in Yahweh and the God that we know in Jesus Christ is very adamant on issues of justice and looking out for the oppressed and the vulnerable. And so while there's things of vulnerability that we want to take from what children can show us, there's also things of vulnerability that we need to be very careful of and aware of as the church. How are we caring for the most vulnerable people around us that are could be taken advantage of? Emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, and the list goes on. And so I want to spend a little bit of time after the sermon and after the response song talking about the Safe Church Initiative. Before I do that, I think it is important to give a few examples of where I think we are seeing the church doing a really good job welcoming the little children. I think we embody the words, "Let the little children come to me," when we have things like the worship bags here for the kids to play with during the service. I think we embody, "Let the little children come to me," when we have committed Sunday school teachers who are sacrificing every week to prepare a lesson and sacrificing to not be in the adult class to teach our kids. I think we embody, "Let the little children come to me," when we have family night every other Wednesday, which I haven't gotten to yet, but I hope to get there this next time. I think we embody, "Let the little children come to me," when we have uncles and aunts and grandparents and parents who love their kids and deeply desire that their kids grow up to know Jesus and are nurtured in a healthy way. I think Whitmer Heights is saying, "Let the little children come to me." And for that I say yes and amen. And then we can further ask, well, what more can we do? And we'll explore that shortly. Let us pray. God, thank you for this text in Mark, where you so clearly show us that children are not just welcomed in the kingdom, but that we see the kingdom in children. God, what can we learn this morning about what children can show us? How can we learn to ask for help? How can we learn to rest? How can we learn to have fun? How can we learn to fellowship together in church? God, we thank you that we see vulnerability in kids. How can we also embody vulnerability in our lives? May we be a church that says, "Let the little children come." In Jesus' name, amen.